This is stewardship season, and today I begin a series of sermon on the theme, Called to Live Upside Down. And today's sermon is entitled, The Humble Are Exalted. There are two scripture readings. The first comes from the book of Daniel in chapter 5, just the first 9 verses. I'll finish that story in the course of the message for you. And then turning to the Gospel of Luke, looking at a familiar passage, the story of the Pharisee and the tax collector. So first, Daniel 5, beginning at verse 1. King Belshazzar made a great feast for 1,000 of his lords, and he was drinking wine in the presence of the 1,000. Under the influence of the wine, Belshazzar commanded that they bring in the vessels of gold and silver that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. So they brought in the vessels of gold that had been taken out of the temple, the house of the God in Jerusalem, and the king and his lords, his wives, and his concubines drank from them. They drank the wine and praised the gods of gold and silver, bronze, iron, and wood, and stone. Immediately, the fingers of a human hand appeared and began writing on the plaster of the wall of the royal palace next to the lampstand. The king was watching the hand as it wrote. Then the king's face turned pale, and his thoughts terrified him. His limbs gave way, and his knees knocked together. The king cried aloud to bring in the enchanters, the Chaldeans, and the diviners. And the king said to the wise men of Babylon, "Whoever can read this writing and tell me its interpretation shall be clothed in purple and have a chain of gold around his neck and rank third in the kingdom." Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king the interpretation. Then King Belshazzar became greatly terrified, and his face turned pale, and his lords were perplexed. And then from Luke's Gospel in chapter 18, I begin at verse 9, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and regarded others with contempt. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, was praying thus, "God, I thank you that I am not like the other people, thieves, rogues, adulterers, and even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give a tenth of all my income, but the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast and saying, 'God, be merciful to me, a sinner.' I tell you, this man went down to his home justified rather than the other. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but all who humble themselves will be exalted." Let us pray as we come to the message. O Lord, give us eyes to see. O Lord, give us ears to hear the truth that your words hold for us today. In Christ's name, amen. Jesus had predictions about this life and the next life, predictions which overturn many of our common attitudes and beliefs. For example, he said that the first would be last and the last would be first. He said that some of the wise people were actually foolish people. And those who seem foolish, they're really the wise ones. It's almost as if he said the apparent losers in the world in this life will be the winners, and the winners that we see will be the losers. He did say there were people with eyes who really couldn't see, and there were people who were blind who were actually visionaries. He looked at some people and said, even though they were alive, they were spiritually dead, and that those who were dead were really alive. Now, these observations that Jesus made, they seem literally upside down. And they are surprising to many people. They seem backwards. This is not the way we normally think. And therein lies their value, doesn't it? And so as we begin this stewardship season, and as we seek to come forward in November, on the second Sunday of November, to dedicate our gifts for the coming year, we reflect on stewardship for the coming weeks. And I begin preaching today a series of sermons on these upside-down messages of Jesus. What they really are paradoxes. I looked that word up, paradox. Webster's Dictionary says a paradox is a statement that is opposed to popular opinion. I like that. It is a statement that can even contradict common sense, but nevertheless be true. And so we begin today looking at one of Jesus' familiar, often repeated phrases, his saying, "The proud will be humbled, and the humble will be exalted." You know, all those self-help books that you can find at Barnes and Noble's bookstore, oddly enough, the self-help books are very close to the religious section. I've always found that interesting. But they promise you that if you focus on yourself and do certain things, you can get ahead. Some of them actually promise that you can be a winner, whatever that is. But why is it that we have come to feel oftentimes that it is the proud, it is the self-sufficient, it is those with the largest Twitter accounts who receive all the power, the praise, and the honor? But it's really not so. Jesus, you see, he turns that notion upside down. And he says repeatedly throughout the Bible, in one way or another, we are told of stories where the proud fall and the humble are finally exalted. For example, take the wise King Solomon. He was known to be wise, and some scholars believe he actually wrote a good portion, perhaps, of the book of Proverbs. Well, King Solomon should have heeded some of his own advice, because in the book of Proverbs, we find the expression, "Pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Later in his life, King Solomon forgot God amidst all of his wealth, and all of those concubines, his kingdom finally was divided and ruined. Pride goes before destruction very often, doesn't it? Or take, for example, our reading this morning from the book of Daniel. My, that's a dramatic story. It's kind of mystical, handwriting on the wall. Notice the detail right next to the lampstand. There's that king, the Babylonian king, Belshazzar. I love to say that. And his father, Nebuchadnezzar. That was a great one, right? But Belshazzar, he was another monarch who exalted himself above God. Indeed, he mocked God by bringing in all of those vessels that were used in the temple worship. And a mysterious hand wrote on the banquet wall words which no diviner of his could translate. And finally, they were wise enough to call in the prophet Daniel, who was the prophet of Israel, because they knew that he alone could translate the words. And in a summary form, this is what he told King Belshazzar. "King, God has numbered your days, and your kingdom will be brought to an end." And it was that very night that Belshazzar was killed. God numbered his days. And still today we use that phrase, do we not, when we know someone is about to fall. The handwriting is on the wall. Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty together again. You know that nursery rhyme. I began it in the first service, the contemporary service, and they all ended it. It was so much fun to hear us all say a nursery rhyme together. But some historians believe that the rhyme refers to the insolent, the tyrannical King Richard III, who so oppressed his people that before the end of his monarchy, the kingdom was divided and ruined, and his palace couldn't be put back together again. Oh, Jesus' prediction is often found to be true in our contemporary life as well. I thought about this and came up with a whole list of names from the 70s and the 80s and the 90s of people in all kinds of fields, all kinds of fields of endeavor, of sports and politics, religion and business, who the bigger they got, the harder they fail. And when you go home today, you think about those people, they'll come to mind quickly. And it is true, the bigger they all are, the harder they fall. It's almost as if Jesus' prediction has become a law of life, that whoever exalts himself or herself will be humbled at some point. I remember my mother saying that often to me, reminding me of when I was a youth and I would accomplish something and feel proud about it. She would say, "Don't get too big for your britches." Jesus was particularly harsh, note with me, about religious pride. He was scathing about it. His parable about the two men praying that we read from Luke, it's jolting. No two people could have been more opposite. And the message of that story is that if you are proud before God, you will be humbled. And if you are humble, you will be exalted. You will be lifted up. And that's what happened in that story. It was the tax collector who stood afar off and looked up to God and beat his chest and confessed and asked for mercy that was forgiven and lifted up. So the question is, what's the application, right? How can we be humble and thus honored? Well, first, to be truly humble, it requires honesty. Honesty. Always be honest. Humility, you see, isn't disparaging yourself. If you receive a compliment, say a gracious thank you. Be honest about it. Don't say, "Oh, I'm really no good. I'm just a hack." You know, be honest about it. That's the way to true humility. When you just joke about it, it calls more attention to you. The honest truth is that you cannot try to be humble. You cannot work at being humble or strive to be humble. There was a man who was very humble at his place of work, and they decided to give him a trophy of humility. And the moment he came forward and received it, he was disqualified. Humility. Humility like peace, humility like happiness, comes only by indirection. You get yourself out of the center of your life by caring for others. And it is important to remember in this stewardship season that we are to commit ourselves and our resources, our time and our talent for others, for the church of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God, not for ourselves. To care about others first. And when you do that, humility and peace and joy come through the back door. Well, note secondly with me, the truly humble that are exalted. To be truly humble and to be exalted requires humor. It requires humor. Never trust a person who cannot laugh at themselves. I certainly did that this morning. Last night, my wife went to bed early, and I kept the lights off so she could sleep. And wouldn't you know it, one step, and I almost stepped on the cat. And I went down in a hard fall and twisted my knee. Oh, it'll get better. But I thought to myself, if that could have just happened in daylight, it would be a great act for the Red Skelton show. There goes the Presbyterian bishop. Watch, he's going to fall on his own cat. Or better yet, how about a pie in the face? I think it was Mark Twain who said that if you could sit on a fence and watch yourself passing by, you would die laughing. The humble can laugh at themselves, and I'm not that humble, I'll tell you. The story is told to four people: a Boy Scout, a pastor, a computer scientist, and a surgeon. Now, they were the only passengers, those four, on a commercial airline flight from New York to Los Angeles. And once they had reached their cruising altitude, the pilot came out and told the four passengers, "Both engines have just died, and we are slowly descending, but no doubt we will crash. And unfortunately, we only have enough parachutes for the flight crew and three passengers. One of the passengers will have to go down with the plane. I'm just so sorry." A moment later, the flight crew donned their parachutes and they jumped from the crippled plane one at a time. And the four passengers that were left, they just stared at each other. Four of them, three chutes. All of a sudden, the doctor put on a parachute and he said, "I'm the only man alive who knows how to do a particular surgery on the brain to save lives." And he jumped from the plane with the parachute. The scientist quickly put on a parachute and said, "I am the most brilliant scientist in the world. For the sake of humanity, I must live." And he took a parachute and he jumped. Well, the pastor looked at the Boy Scout. They were the only two left. And the pastor said, "Son, you have your entire life to live. Take the final parachute." The Boy Scout tossed a parachute to the pastor and said, "Put on the parachute, Reverend. The smartest man in the world just jumped out of the plane wearing my backpack." The exalted will be humbled. So we have said this morning, to be humble takes honesty. To be humble means you need to learn how to laugh at yourself. Don't trust anyone who doesn't know how to do that. And then thirdly, I think humility requires what I want to call as holiness. Holiness. And by holiness, I mean standing before God who is greater than us all. By holiness, I mean a realization that you and I are not God, and we are not the center of the universe. And by holiness, I mean confessing before Him your desire to be better than you are. That's why we're here, to praise God and ask God to make us better than we are. It was the theologian Reinhold Niebuhr who said that before God, we are all the same, in need of grace. And that's true, whether we're Pharisees or tax collectors. We both need mercy. And this means that you never, never need to diminish yourself. What you need to do is find some greatness. Stand tall. Stand tall in humility and find some greatness to stand beside. And that's when you realize, if you have any greatness, how small it is. Stand before God, whose grace and beauty and love will lift you up it will exalt you. There have been so many great ones that we could name this morning. I want to name just one because of her service before God. How about Mother Teresa? There's a good one. Read about her life. Do you know what she said of herself when people would praise her for her work? She said, "I am but a pencil in the hand of God." That's it. But the greatest model of all for us is our model, Jesus Christ. We sang about him today. I want to have you remember this morning as I close how the Apostle Paul said it in his writings to those early Christians, and he says it to us too. I hope you'll have new ears to hear it this morning. "Have this mind among yourselves, which you have in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but rather he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, death on the cross. And therefore God has exalted him and bestowed upon him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord for the glory of God." And that says it all. The humble exalted. And Jesus just didn't say it. He did it. Go and do likewise. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.